Good morning, church family. It was mentioned that next weekend is graduation at NPAA, and this past Wednesday, I teach seniors first period, so half the seniors went down to the library, and then the other half came down to the library, and these plastic bags were pulled out, and they had something special in them, and all the seniors had to pull these things out and kind of shake them and then put them on. They were the graduation robes. And you see just an emerald city of green being put on, you know, it's just like 50-some leprechauns, and they've got their robes on, and they're trying on their sashes, and they've got their hats on, and figuring out which side the tassel goes, and giggles. They were so excited, because this is something that they had been anticipating for 12-plus years or so. Do you remember when you put on your graduation robe? It was exciting. And after they graduate, there's going to be something else that they're going to want to anticipate and look forward to, and that's just our human nature. We have a lot of things that we look forward to. We have a list. And you know what? God knows our list, doesn't he? But you know what? For each of us, he's got a list. And he knows what makes us most happy. And at the very top of that list, he says, develop a relationship with me. Get to know me. And that will so engulf your life and make you happy. And on top of that, that list that you have and I have, we're going to match notes because I want you to have the desires of your heart. There's a beautiful text this morning that we would like to read. It's found in Luke 12, 31 to 34. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money in bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What a wonderful promise. At this time, for those that are able, we would like to invite you to kneel for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for so many things that you've done for us. Ultimately, your sacrifice on the cross, the promise to come back. But in the interim, we know that you're with us every step of the way. We ask, dear Father, that your Holy Spirit will be poured out here this morning. May we be receptive to it. Dear Father, we pray that our relationship with you personally will continue to grow and that we may ask where it is you want us to go, what do you want us to do, because we know that you have that list for us that will make us most happy. Thank you for your love. Please be with those that are in need. Read each heart and fill that need. We love you and we ask that you come quickly, Lord. We ask all of these things in your precious and holy name. Amen.
So just a word about the song that George and I are going to sing. I was thinking when he called to ask me if we could do some special music together this week that we are two dads of graduates in the next week or two who are going to be heading off to college in the fall. And reach out, take the hand is something that speaks to all of us, I think, but especially so as you're looking toward getting the next part of your life experience going with college. And I thought that it would be appropriate, if I could speak for George, that we could dedicate this song to Cameron and to Tim. But in addition to that, I was hoping that it would be cool to all the graduates as well. But in particular, I also wanted to add that if it was okay to all the moms of every graduate out there, to Ada and to Tammy and to all the moms of the graduates, we know that you all are the rocks in all of our households that make things go and help our young people to accomplish what they do more than anything. And we love you and appreciate you. And so this song is to the graduates and to the moms. There's a way to find peace and love just by looking to heaven above. For Jesus has promised to What he says he will do. So reach out and take the hand of Jesus. Reach out and take the hand of Jesus. Hand every day, let him lead you all the way. Reach out and take the hand of Jesus. When your feelings are presence has gone, that's the time to have faith and press on. So reach out and take the hand of Jesus. Reach out and take the hand of Jesus. Take his hand every day. Let him lead you all the way. Reach out and take the hand of Jesus. Take his hand every day. Let him lead you all the way. Reach out and take the hand of Jesus.
Reaching out and taking the hand of Jesus. I have a ministry partner this morning. He's soon going to take my place. Isn't that cool? Do you know what? He came up to me this morning, and what did you tell Pastor Dennis? Speak right into the microphone.
Thank you for the money so I can go to Linda Vista.
He was a recipient of Worthy Student Funds. And I'm proud that this church helped Woody get a Christian education. He's not the only one. But it just touched my heart this morning when he came up to me and said, Pastor Dennis, thank you. And I said, you're telling the wrong person. You need to tell the church family. Will you go with me this morning and thank the church family? And he says, I'll have to think about it. Well, you know the rest of the story. Thank you, Woody. You may go down and join your family. You know where they're sitting? Can you find them okay? Very good. I don't know, but I'm proud of our young people. Are you? And I have another one that I want to recognize this morning because he wasn't here last week when we honored our graduates. Where's Tim Swanson? Sitting down here. Tim was helping mom in ministry last weekend. So, Tim, this is from us, from Pastor Will and I and all of these precious people sitting out here. So you've got the word now. Read it starting with chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And go to Revelation 22, where he says, I am coming soon. That's the bookend. And he's in every word from the beginning to the end. Take him with you wherever you go. All right. Thank you.
Thank
We're
you,
proud
Pastor
of
Harris.
You.
Thank you.
Wow. I can sit down now. Do you trust God? A little bit? A little bit more? Or lots? How much do you trust God? You know, this is Babylon Rising, started on Wednesday night. And we had like 41 people here to see Babylon Rising. Seven of those 41 are non-SDA members or attendees. And the numbers have flexed between 41 and I think last night was like 34 or 33, with eight non-SDAs here. Isn't that awesome? But I have to tell you what happened Thursday. I was getting ready to, I was at home getting ready to come to the church around 5 o'clock, and Ted calls me. He says, Pastor Dennis, we don't have any power. None. Zip. And I went, oh no. We had 2 hours until the go button. I said, I'll be right there. I'm almost ready to go and walk out the door. And I get here, and by then he had gone on his radio and figured out that somewhere in Camarillo, somebody had released those Mylar balloons and they had hit the power line and blown out a transformer. And we're going, oh my, this is not good. I'm looking at my watch, an hour to go. I called the electric company. Well, we'll have the problem fixed within 4 hours. And I'm thinking, we don't have 4 hours. We have less now than 60 minutes. So Ted and I were out in the courtyard, and I said, Ted, we've got to pray. So he and I prayed for the Lord to take care of the problem. In about 15 minutes, or about 6:15, I walk out, and I see two of the electrical guys, two vehicles on the other side of the road on Las Poses. And then they're starting to walk over here. And so I go out and meet them, and I'm going, this is good. This is good. Lord, you're working fast. This is really good. And they said, well, where's your transformer? And so I take him into the electrical room, totally forgetting that behind that wall right there is the big transformer. And so we ask him, well, what's the deal? And that's how we get confirmation that Mylar balloons, and yes, there is a transformer that's blown, and we've got to come in here and apparently shut off the power so that there wouldn't be a huge surge coming through, I guess, or whatever. So they're in, and they said, then they left and said, we'll be back in 15 minutes and turn the power should be on. At 10 minutes to 7, the lights came on. May have been even a little less than that. But you know what? God took care of the problem. He's at work. Do you trust him? Do you trust him? There's 4 points I want you to go home with today that I will try to make as succinct and clear as I can, and I'll illustrate it with a couple Bible stories along the way and some personal experience. But if you were to define trust, how would you define it? Webster defines it this way: a firm belief in the honesty, reliability of another. Well, if we can have that kind of trust for one another, how much more trust can you put in Jesus? Think about that. A firm belief in the honesty, reliability of Jesus. An incredible Savior. Our faith growing stronger by the second because we trust him to see us through whatever crisis, whatever problem we are facing. So do you trust one another? If you don't trust God, it's hard to trust another person. And even when you do trust God, you can't always trust another person. That's true. Sad, but true. But I invite you this morning and every second from this point on to put your total and complete trust in Jesus. Because as our scripture told us today, he gives you the power to change your life. Let's take a look at it. This is Luke 12, 31 through 34. But seek the kingdom of God and how many things? All things shall be added to you. Wow. Seek the kingdom of God and all things will be added unto you. That's pretty all-encompassing, isn't it? Are there any boundaries to that? No apparent ones, are there? So instead of thinking small, think big, like God. He is huge. Give your problems to him and trust him. You see, when we trust God, we have incredible help in our lives. He goes on, it says, do not fear, little flock, that would be us, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have, give alms and give alms, provide for yourself money bags, which do not grow old. You don't want holes in those money bags, do you? You don't want those In God We Trust coins to be falling on the ground for somebody else to pick up until you're ready to use them, right? A treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches, nor moth destroys. How many of you have clothing that moth have eaten a hole in? Ever had one of those problem happen to you? Doesn't make you a happy camper, does it? How did that hole get there, you know? Well, when it comes to putting your life resources, you want them in a protective container that will not rust, will not wear out, and nothing can dig or chew a hole into. And here's the key verse. For where your what? Say it with me. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So point number one that I want to leave you today is, trust is always allowing God to take control of every area or every talent or every penny that you earn of your human existence, including your resources. Is that plausible? Does that make sense? Is that doable? It is when you trust him. The second point I want to leave you with is it is living the Lordship of Jesus Christ daily, trusting Him with every facet of your life and all of your means, giving Him our all so that the treasure is where it can last for all of eternity. Point number three, trust is a spiritual value that is born out of an intimate relationship between you, the believer, and God. Think about Chip's story today, how God hears, answers prayer. A church family that trusted God, and God moves a church to a location, the best location. If He can do that with a church, can He do it with any problem that you're having today? You see, the difficulty for us is the willingness to trust and wait on Him. You see, the people that built that church thought they had to go to Plan B, and they did. But God had another plan. You know, I'm thinking about all of the floods, all the tornadoes, and all the horrific devastation that's occurring out there in the world today. You know, you may have heard it in the news this week, too, that our government is questioning where they're going to get the money to fix all these problems. We're already just a mere $14 trillion in debt. Who knows what the final figure is going to be? And tornado season doesn't start until June 1. Do you think God's trying to tell us something? Now, let's make something abundantly clear. I don't believe God is in all of these tornadoes. There's somebody else involved here who wants to destroy people. Somebody else involved who wants to get our eyes off of Jesus. Somebody else involved who wants you to distrust God. Who would that be? The devil. Satan is bound and determined to discourage you, to get you distracted, to get you turned away from God. But oh, my friends, if there was ever time to be closer to Jesus than ever, it's now. You know, in Luke 12, the chapter I started with, the title on that one section is Do Not Worry. Go back and read it. Luke 12, beginning with verse around 21. Do not worry. Jesus has you covered. Aren't you more precious than a sparrow? Aren't you more precious than a lily? Aren't you more valuable than all of them? And yet Jesus has all of those under His protective care as well. Give Jesus your allegiance. Give Him your all. But Jesus loves to put us to the test. And there's an Old Testament story that I couldn't help but share with you this morning because it speaks to my heart. Found in Genesis, the 22nd chapter. Father Abraham and Isaac. Now, Father Abraham was an old man when Isaac came on the scene. Sarah was no spring lady either. Isaac you might say, in many ways, was a miracle baby. Remember, God had told Abraham, took him out, and he showed him the stars in the sky, and he says, your descendants will be as many as, if you can count the stars, that's how many descendants you will have. And then he points to the seashore and count the little pieces of sand, and that's how many descendants you will have. And Abraham going, yeah, right, Lord, I have not even child one. But then he gets into trouble because he does have a child. He didn't trust God. And so by the time Isaac comes along, Ishmael's about 14 years old. And great problems occurred and are occurring today because of that. And when you count the descendants of Isaac and Ishmael, that covers a large portion of the earth's population today, doesn't it? God loves them all. Don't forget that. Jesus died for our Muslim friends, our Islamic friends, our Buddhist friends, and you and me, and all of the others out there. But here we find Abraham faced with a dilemma because God spoke to Abraham, and notice what he said. We're beginning in Genesis 22, verse 1. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham. God did what? Tested him. Why would God test Abraham? Well, we'll find out, won't we? Here's what God said to Abraham. Take your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Dads, think about that for a moment. If God woke you up one night and said, called you by name, hopefully you would answer as Adam or as Abraham did and said, here I am. Kind of reminds you of Samuel's story, doesn't it? Here I am. And then God says to you, I want you to take your only son and go and offer him as a sacrifice. Would you do it? I don't know. I would find that extremely difficult as a father. I love my sons. Abraham loved God. Abraham had already learned that he, Abraham, must always trust his God. And so Abraham began to think, how am I going to do this? If I tell Sarah this is what God has asked me to do, she will go ballistic. I'm not sure he used that word, but you know what I mean. And she will not let me do it. So Abraham got up in the wee hours of the night, woke up Isaac, woke up two of his servants, went out, probably already had the wood ready, but it says it got the wood ready, had the fire, loaded it on the animals, and off they went into the night. And to cut the short story, they traveled for 3 days. And on the third day, when Abraham could see the mountain, he told his servants to stay, took the wood off the donkeys and put it on Isaac. And off he and Isaac went. Because he told his two servants, you stay here. We'll be back. Key phrase, we'll be back. Did Abraham know at that point that both of them would be back? No. Let's pick this story up with verse 7. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said as they were traveling along, "My father!" And he said, "Here I am, my son." Then he said, "Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So the two of them went together. That's faith, my friends. God's instructions were pretty clear. Take your son Isaac and offer him as a sacrifice rather than a lamb or a goat or any other acceptable burnt offering. And off they go. They get there. They build the altar. I think it was probably took Abraham longer to build this altar than any other altar he had ever built. Why? Because his son was going to be laid on that altar. And after placing the wood on the altar, it was then that the father looks into the face of his son and he says, "Isaac, God told me." "I don't understand this, Isaac, but God instructed me that you were to be the sacrifice." What would Isaac do? What did Isaac do? Dad has done his work with Isaac. Dad had taught Isaac to put his total and complete trust in God. Isaac, I'm sure, remembered the phrase when Isaac asked the question, "Where's the lamb?" He heard his father's answer, "God will provide." Now, Isaac at that point was no little guy. Isaac probably could have easily outpowered his father. He could outrun him, outwalk him maybe. Isaac could have taken off. But Isaac had developed a love relationship with his father and, more importantly, with God, so that the two of them consented to follow God's instructions. And so Abraham secures Isaac's hands and feet and laid him on the altar. My friends, I cannot just put my mind around this. And then Abraham, I'm sure, is praying silently, "God, help me. God, no, this can't be. You've got to have another plan. You told me to do this, and so we're in agreement. Isaac and I are both in agreement that we've got to follow your word." And so he takes the knife. Picture Isaac looking up into the face of his father, knife over him. Abraham ready to plunge the knife into his heart. And God says, "Stop! Stop!" I'm not sure that was the words he used. Abraham. "No, Abraham, you've passed the test. You have passed the test, Isaac. The two of you have passed the test. You can be trusted." Oh, my friends, don't take your relationship with Jesus lightly. Jesus is calling you. He's calling me. He's calling our children into this same trust relationship. The power to trust is so crucial and so important, especially now in the time in which we are living. It's always been important. This story was, what, almost 6,000 years ago. But notice the power in the story. There's another application to this story. Well, we forgot a piece, didn't we? Because as soon as Isaac was released, they looked into the bushes and there was a ram. There was a sheep. And they offered up the sheep, the lamb. Through this story, God put in human dimensions the wonderful plan of salvation. Jesus and the Father having this discussion when they created this world and created Adam and Eve, there was a plan that was set aside. What if someone should disobey? What will we do? And I can see Jesus looking at his Father and said, Father, these are my children. I created them. It would be my role to go and die for them so that they could have eternal life. Jesus has kept that promise. Praise the Lord. He's alive. You can trust him. Not with just a little bit of your heart, but with all of your heart, your mind, and your soul. He is so incredible. He is so awesome, and he loves you so much. He doesn't want any of us to be left behind. You see, the heart of worship is learning to totally and completely trust God. Totally. Not just a little bit, but with all your heart, mind, and soul. He is the one that gives you the power to trust him with all your heart, mind, and soul. So my plea to you today is that you trust him. That you search deep into your heart and say, what is it in my life that I need to surrender to him? What is it that I need to change in my life so I can completely honor him with every facet of my life? What is it in my daily walk that I need to surrender to him so that he and I can have this very best and powerful relationship that will see us through to the kingdom of God? What is it that goes on behind locked doors in your house or in your office that you need to give to him so that nothing will stand in the way of you seeing Jesus when he comes? More than seeing Jesus, you will be saying with the saints, lo, this is our God, and he will save us. What is it in our giving that we need to change? What can we take to heaven with us? Nothing but our souls and our heart. What about our business dealings and our business meetings? Are they sound? Are they biblically based? How we deal with our employees, how we deal with our colleagues. Are we trusted? Can we be trusted with everything in our business? What about when you come here to worship God in his sanctuary? Do you come willing and ready to give your all to Jesus? Jesus wants you to experience joy in your life. This whole world we live in is a temporary place. You know that. I know that. And so when we come to worship here, we come as an offering to God. Our characters purified and refined. I leave you with this passage of Scripture. It's found in Psalms 37, 3 and 4. Read it with me. This is a powerful little passage that David has given us. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Wow. Are you ready to trust and obey? You've already been doing that. But if there's anyone here today that just needs to say, Jesus, I surrender all to You, would you raise your hand? Would you be brave enough to do that with me this morning? I need to do this. Your pastor must do this to set the example. First and foremost, you can't save me, I can't save you. It's a one-on-one with Jesus. Trust and obey, for there's no other way. May you do that from this day forward, relying on the power and grace of the Holy Spirit to fill your life with power.
In the hymnal, it's hymn number 590. Trust and obey.
loving Jesus. This is our song as we leave today. It's also our prayer that we will trust and obey, for there is no other way. Well, there are other ways, but they won't get you into the kingdom of heaven. Stay connected. May the light and love of Jesus fill your hearts and minds as we leave here today. Seek the opportunities to share him this week and to invite your neighbors, friends, and family to come and experience this same trust that you have in an eternal Savior, Jesus Christ. Empower us this day. Fill us with the Niagara Falls of the Holy Spirit filling our hearts and lives so that we will just share you everywhere we go. In Jesus' name, amen.